And welcome back. This is our lecture on common carrier of passengers, the nature and extent of our responsibility. As we have stated in our previous lecture, the nature and extent of responsibility for common carriers of passengers are listed in Articles 1733 and also Article 1755 of the Civil Code. And Article 1755 of the Civil Code shows clearly the high degree of care and extraordinary diligence required of a common carrier with respect to the transport of its passengers. So again, common carriers must exercise extraordinary diligence in carrying passengers. And the duty to exercise the utmost diligence on the part of common carriers is for the safety of passengers as well as for the members of the crew for the complement operating the carrier. This must be so, for any omission, lapse, or neglect will certainly result to the damage, prejudice, injuries, or even death to all aboard the plane or the vessel or carrier. So again, the carrier's duty of extraordinary diligence is not only to its passengers, but it extends also to the crew members of the common carrier. So we have a case of Kanko versus MRR. That's the one we have previously discussed. That's 38 Philippines 768. And this is about the employee riding on train who stepped on the watermelons. And the court stated that the conduct of plaintiff in undertaking to alight while the train was yet slightly underway was not characterized by imprudence, and that he was not guilty of contributory negligence. According to the court, it is not negligence per se for a traveler to alight from a slowly moving train. MRR failed to exercise due care in not providing for safe exit of its passengers. It also failed to provide adequate lighting for its station. It is important to note that the foundation of the legal liability of the defendant, in this case the common carrier, is the contract of carriage, and that the obligation to respond for the damage which plaintiff has suffered arises, if at all, from breach of that contract by reason of the failure of defendant to exercise due care in its performance. Its liability is direct and immediate, that's culpa contractual. It differs essentially from that presumptive responsibility for the negligence of its servants, which can be rebutted by proof of the exercise of due care in the selection and supervision of employees, or culpa aquiliana. So remember, for a breach of contract or culpa contractual, the liability is direct and immediate, as opposed to culpa aquiliana, in which there is presumptive responsibility if the servants of the common carrier are negligent, and that it can be rebutted by proof of the exercise of due care in the selection and supervision of employees. So that's one you should remember, the difference between culpa aquiliana and culpa contractual. One is direct and immediate, the other one is rebuttable by proof of exercise of due care. And the Supreme Court continued to rule that the liability of masters and employers for the negligent acts or omissions of their servants or agents, when such act or omissions cause damage which amount to the breach of a contract, is not based upon a mere presumption of the master's negligence in their selection or control, and proof of exercise of the utmost diligence and care in this regard does not relieve the master of his liability for the breach of his contract. When the facts averred show a contractual undertaking by defendant for the benefit of plaintiff, and it is alleged that plaintiff has failed or refused to perform that contract, it is not necessary for plaintiff to specify in a pleading whether the breach of the contract is due to willful fault or to negligence on the part of the defendant or of his servants or agents. Proof of the contract and of its non-performance is sufficient prima facie to warrant recovery because the basis of liability is contractual or culpa contractual. Remember that the contract of defendant to transport plaintiff carried with it, by implication, the duty to carry him in safety and to provide safe means of entering and leaving its trains. That duty, being contractual, was direct and immediate, and its non-performance could not be excused by proof that the fault was morally imputable to defendant's servants. We have another case, Strong versus Iloilo Negros Air Express, 40 Official Gazette 269. In this case, the plaintiff was a passenger aboard defendant's plane en route from Iloilo to Manila, and the plane's motors went dead, and notwithstanding the efforts of its pilot, it plunged into the sea and sunk. The passengers and the pilot were rescued. The court held that in aviation, inevitable accident is defined as one that is not occasioned in any degree, remotely or directly, by want of such skill or care as the law holds for what man is bound to exercise. Airplane companies are not required to exercise all the care. Passengers necessarily should take upon the usual and ordinary perils to airplane travel. A carrier is not an insurer against all risks. A carrier is not liable for defects of ignition cables used on his plane, nor of the installation thereof, which cables were purchased from a competent and reputable manufacturer in the absence of showing that it knew those defects or that such kind of ignition cable is not ordinarily used on the airplane operated by it. The doctrine of res ipsa loquitur cannot be applied in this case when there is no proof that, according to the general experience of mankind, the accident was such that it does not usually occur in the ordinary course of events without the negligence on the part of those in control. Another case is Isaac versus A.L. Amen Transportation Company, 101 Philippines, 1046. This is about a passenger aboard a bus who placed his left arm on the window, lost his arm when the bus collided with a pickup. It was held that if the carrier's employee is confronted with a sudden emergency, he is not held to the same degree of care he would otherwise be required in the absence of such emergency. By placing his left arm on the window, the passenger is guilty of contributory negligence, and although contributory negligence cannot relieve the carrier, but can only reduce his liability pursuant to Article 1762 of the Civil Code, this is a circumstance which militates against the position of the plaintiff. The plaintiff in this case is, of course, the passenger. It is negligence per se for passengers to protrude any part of his body, and that no recovery can be had for such injury. The reason behind it is that a common carrier is bound to carry the passenger safely as far as human care and foresight can provide. So again, remember that a common carrier is bound to carry the passengers safely as far as human care and foresight can provide, using the utmost diligence of very cautious persons with due regard for all circumstances. This extraordinary diligence required of common carriers is calculated to protect the passengers from the tragic accidents or mishaps that frequently occur in connection with rapid modern transportation. This high standard of care is imperatively demanded by the preciousness of human life and by the consideration that every person must in every way be safeguarded against all injury. Principles as to liability of a common carrier. Number one, the liability of a common carrier is contractual and arises upon breach of its obligation. There is breach if it fails to exert extraordinary diligence according to all There are circumstances in which case, number two, a carrier is obliged to carry its passengers with the utmost diligence of very cautious persons, having due regard for all the circumstances. Number three, a carrier is presumed to have been at fault or to have acted negligently in case of death of or injury to passengers, it being its duty to prove that it exercised extraordinary diligence. And number four, the carrier is not an insurer against all the risks of travel. So those are the four principles we got from those cases we have just reviewed with respect to liability of common carriers in the passage or transportation of passengers. In another case, Landingen versus Pantranco. Landingen versus Pantranco, 33 Scra 284. In this case, the plaintiffs are parents, were parents of two girls who were passengers on a Pantranco bus on an excursion trip from Dagupan to Baguio. The bus was open on one side. The trial court found that the cross joint of the bus broke and the bus started to roll back. Some passengers jumped out. The bus driver maneuvered the bus safely to the mountainside. Two of the girls who jumped were seriously injured and died. It was held in this case, quoting Latham versus Smith, the court held that accidents caused by defects in the automobile are not caso fortuito. The rationale is that the passengers has neither the choice nor control over the carrier in the selection and use of the equipment and appliances in use by the carrier. When the passenger dies or is injured, the presumption is that the common carrier is at fault or acted negligently. And it is only rebutted by proof on the carrier's part that it observed extraordinary diligence required in Articles 1733 and the utmost diligence of very cautious persons required in Article 1755. It does not appear that the carrier gave due regard for all the circumstances with cross joints inspection the day previous to the accident. The bus was heavily laden and it would be traversing mountainous, circuitous and ascending road. Thus, the entire bus would naturally be taxed more heavily than it would be under the ordinary circumstances. The mere fact that the bus was inspected only recently and found to be in order would not exempt the carrier from liability unless it is shown that the particular circumstances under which the bus would travel were also considered. In another case, Landicho versus BTC, 52 Official Gazette, 764, Landicho boarded a BTC bus. Before he did so, the conductor helped him in placing his two baskets of chicken inside the running board. After a distance, he claimed that he noticed one cage falling and he called the conductor's attention, who did not respond. He tried to fix it himself, resulting in his fall in which he suffered injuries. It was held that the facts would show that the cage was not about to fall. Plaintiff was probably dizzy or sleepy that he fell from the truck. And the court said that while it is true that defendant, being a common carrier, is bound to transport his passengers from the point of origin to the place of destination, but the duty does not encompass all the risks attendant to a passenger in transit, for then the company would be a good source of stipend for a family who would like to end it all by simply boarding, paying the fare, and intentionally falling off. According to the court, it is enough for the common carrier's employees to see to it that the passenger places himself safely inside the vehicle, that it is operated carefully, and that its mechanism is perfectly all right to prevent mishaps. It would be unreasonable to exact upon operators to determine beforehand whether a passenger is likely to fall dizzy or sleepy on the way, for that is the lookout of the passenger himself. A passenger must see to it that he fits himself in a safe portion of the vehicle. Another case is Necesito versus Paras, 105 Philippines, 75. A mother and son boarded a passenger auto truck of the Philippine Rapid Bus Lines while entering a wooden bridge. The front wheel swerved onto the right. The driver lost control and the truck fell into a creek. The mother drowned. The son was injured. While the car is not unsure of the safety of the passengers, the court said that it should nevertheless be held answerable for the flaws of its equipment if such flaws were discoverable. The liability of the common carrier rests upon negligence or its failure to exercise the utmost degree of diligence the law requires. The reason of common carrier's liability for manufacturing defects is that fact that the passenger has neither choice nor control over the carrier in the selection and use of the equipment and appliances in use by the carrier, having no privity whatever with the manufacturer or vendor of the defective equipment. The passenger has no remedy against him. In this case, the defect could have been detected with the exercise of utmost diligence by the common carrier. How about the duration of responsibility? That's our next topic. The duration of responsibility of common carriers to its passengers. In short, when does the relationship of a carrier and passenger terminate? The relation of common carrier and passenger does not cease at the moment that the passenger alights from the common carrier's vehicle at a place selected by the common carrier at the point of destination, but continues until the passenger had reasonable time or a reasonable opportunity to leave the common carrier's premises. What is a reasonable time or a reasonable delay within this rule is to be determined from all the circumstances. So remember, the relationship of carrier and passenger continues until the passenger had reasonable time or a reasonable opportunity to leave the premises of the common carrier. And what is reasonable time or reasonable delay within this rule is to be determined from all the circumstances of the case. In the case of La Mallorca versus Court of Appeals, 17-739, La Mallorca versus Court of Appeals, the husband and wife together with minor children boarded La Mallorca bus. They alighted from the bus. The father returned to the bus to get the baggage. He was followed by his daughter. While the father was still on the running board, awaiting for the conductor to give his baggage, the bus started to run so that the father had to jump. His daughter was run over and was killed. The bus company contended that when she was killed, she was no longer a passenger and the contract of carriage had terminated. The court ruled that whether or not the relation between the carrier and passenger does not cease at the moment the passenger alights from the carrier's premises is to be determined from the circumstances. The court said that in this case, there was no utmost diligence. The driver stopped the bus but did not turn off the engine. He started to run the bus even before the conductor gave him the signal. The presence of passengers near the bus was not unreasonable and the duration of the responsibility still exists. The reason was because the baggage was still with the conductor. There's another case, Bataclan versus Medina, 102 Philippines, 181. The bus of Medina Transportation left Cavite for Pasay with 18 passengers. Around dawn, the front tires burst and the vehicles began to zigzag until it fell into a canal and turned turtle. Some passengers were able to get out while four were trapped, including Bataclan, the plaintiff. Later, 10 men came to help, one of them carrying a lighted torch, fueled by petroleum. A fire started burning the bus and the four passengers. Gas had leaked when the bus overturned. It was held that the proximate cause of the death was the overturning of the vehicle, which was followed by the negligence of the driver and the conductor who were on the road walking back and forth. You should have known that with the position of the bus, the leakage was possible aside from the fact that gas, when spilled, can be smelled from a distance. The failure of the driver and the conductor to have caution or taking steps to warn rescuers not to bring a lighted torch too near the bus constitutes negligence on the part of the agents of the carrier. Another case, Abuides versus Court of Appeals, 179-95. In this case, a farmer boarded a boat owned by Abuides at Mindoro bound for Manila. When the vessel arrived, Pioneer Stevedoring took over control of the cargoes loaded at the vessel and placed its crane alongside the vessel. 1 hour after, he disembarked, he went back to get his cargo, but the crane hit him and he died. It was held in this case that arbitris is still liable for his death under the contract of carriage. The relation of carrier and passenger continues until the passenger has been landed at the port of destination and has left the vessel's owner's dock. Once created, the relationship will not ordinarily terminate until the passenger has safely alighted from the carrier's conveyance or had reasonable opportunity to leave the carrier's premises. All persons who remain on the premises at a reasonable time after leaving the conveyance are to be deemed passengers, and what is reasonable time is to be determined from all circumstances and includes a reasonable time to see after his baggage and prepare for his departure. The common carrier-passenger relationship is not terminated merely by the fact that the person transported has been carried to his destination if the person remains in the premises to claim his baggage. The test is the exercise is the existence of a reasonable cause as will justify the presence of the passenger near the vessel. A common carrier is bound to carry its passengers as far as human care and foresight can provide, using the utmost diligence of a very cautious person with due regard for all circumstances. Here's another case here. It's Pal versus Court of Appeals, GR 82619, September 1993. Pal versus CA, GR number 82619, September 1993. In this case, Pedro Zapatos was among 21 passengers on Pal flight from Cebu to Ozamis. The flight was Cebu Ozamis Cotabato. 15 minutes before landing in Ozamis, the pilot received a message that the airport was closed due to heavy rains and inclement weather and that he should proceed to Cotabato City. So in Cotabato, Pal informed the passengers of their options and that due to limited number of seats in the other flights, the basis for priority would be the check-in sequence at Cebu. Zapatos chose to return to Cebu but was not accommodated because he checked in as passenger number 9. However, his personal belongings, including a camera from Japan, were still on board the flight to Manila. He tried to stop the departure, but his plea fell on deaf ears. He was given a free ticket to Iligan City, which he received under protest. He was left at the airport. Pal neither provided him with transportation from the airport to the city proper, nor food and accommodation for his stay in Cotabato City. The next day, he purchased a ticket to Iligan City. He informed Pal that he would not use the free ticket because he was filing a case against Pal. His personal belongings were never recovered. Pal denied that it unjustifiably refused to accommodate Zapatos. It alleged that there was simply no more seat for him on flight 560 to Manila, and that there was a force majeure which was a valid justification for the pilot to bypass Ozamis City and proceed directly to Cotabato City. Pal contended that it did not unjustifiably deny his demand for priority over confirmed passengers which they could not satisfy in view of the limited seats. Pal also asserted that it should not be charged with the task of looking after the passengers' comfort and convenience, because the diversion of the flight was due to a 42 event and that if made liable, an added burden is given to Pal which is over and beyond its duties under the contract of carriage. Pal argued that renting there was negligence. Pal cannot be held liable in damages in the absence of fraud or bad faith. The RTC held in favor of the plaintiff. The Court of Appeals affirmed. It was held by the Supreme Court that the passenger's complaint touched on Pal's indifference and inattention to his predicament and not on Pal's refusal to comply with his demand for priority over the other passengers. He claimed that he was exposed to the peril of Muslim rebels and that he suffered mental anguish mental torture, social humiliation, besmirched reputation, and wounded feeling. He referred to false apathy. The construct of air carriage is a peculiar one, thus according to the Supreme Court, being imbued with public interest, the law requires common carriers to carry the passengers safely as far as human care and foresight can provide, using the utmost diligence of very cautious persons, with due regard for all the circumstances. Citing Air France versus Carrascoso, the Supreme Court held that the contract to transport passengers is quite different from any contractual relation in that it invites people to avail of the comforts and advantages it offers. The diversion of the flight was due to a 42-7. However, according to the court, such did not terminate PAL's contract with its passengers. Being in the business of air carriage, PAL is deemed equipped to deal with situations like the case at bar. The relation of carrier and passenger continues until the latter has been landed at the airport at the port of destination and has left the premises of the common carrier. Hence, PAL necessarily would still have to exercise extraordinary diligence in safeguarding the comfort, convenience, and safety of the stranded passengers until they have reached their final destination. So remember that. PAL was therefore remiss in its duty of extending utmost care to Zapatos while being stranded in Cotabato City. The Court of Appeals stated that while the failure of Zapatos to reach its destination in accordance with the contract of carriage was due to the closure of the airport on account of rain and inclement weather, it becomes the duty of PAL to provide all means of comfort and convenience to its passengers when they would have to be left in a strange place in case of such bypassing. If the cause of non-fulfillment of the contract is due to a fortuitous event, it has to be the sole and only cause. Since part of the failure to comply with the obligation to deliver its passengers safely to their destination lay in PAL's failure to provide comfort and convenience to its stranded passengers using extraordinary diligence, the cause of non-fulfillment is not solely and exclusively due to fortuitous event, but due to something that PAL could have prevented. PAL becomes liable to the passenger. However, according to the Supreme Court, although PAL was remiss in its duty of extending utmost care to Zapatos while being stranded in Cotabato City, there was no sufficient basis to conclude that PAL failed to inform him about his other options. So just remember that this PAL versus CA, September 1993, GR 8619 is our basis in saying that a common carrier like PAL necessarily will still have to exercise extraordinary diligence in safeguarding the comfort, convenience, and safety of the stranded passengers until they have reached their final destination. So remember that. We have another topic is presumption of negligence, and presumption of negligence is under Article 1756. That in case of death of or injuries to passengers, common carriers are presumed to have been at fault or to have acted negligently unless they have proved that they observe extraordinary diligence as prescribed in Articles 1733 and 1755. Common carriers are presumed to have been at fault or to have acted negligently in case of death or injuries to passengers. This disputable presumption may only be overcome by superior evidence that he had observed extraordinary diligence prescribed in 1733, 1755, and 1756, and where death or injury results to the passenger because of the negligence of the common carrier employees, the common carrier is liable, notwithstanding the fact that he had exercised all the diligence of a good father of a family in the selection and supervision of his employees. And as a consequence, in an action for damages, the issue is not whether or not the party seeking damages has adduced sufficient evidence to show the negligence of the common carrier, but whether or not the common carrier has presented the required quantum of proof to overcome the presumption that it has been at fault or that it acted negligently in the performance of its duty. In the exercise of extraordinary diligence, the common carrier must give due regard for all circumstances in connection with the transport of passengers. And how do you overcome the presumption of negligence? To overcome such presumption, it must be shown that the common carrier had observed the required extraordinary diligence, or that the accident was caused by fortuitous event. In order to constitute caso fortuito that would exempt a person from responsibility, it is necessary that prerequisites must concur. Number one, the event must be independent of the human will. Number two, the occurrence must render it impossible for the obligor to fulfill his obligation in a normal manner. And number three, the obligor must be free of a concurrent or contributory fault or negligence. That's a quote from Estrada v. Consolacion, 71 Scran 5 2 3. So those are the three elements that should concur that would exempt a person from responsibility even in cases of caso fortuito. And remember that while the plaintiff passenger does not need to prove the negligence of the common carrier, he may not preclude the common carrier from proving the legal defense of negligence of the other vehicle involved in the collision. In other words, the common carrier may file a third-party complaint against the other vehicle for reimbursement. How about the last clear chance rule? Remember, the last clear chance rule is not applicable to contracts of carriage. The principle of the last clear chance applies only in a suit between the owners or drivers of two colliding vehicles. It does not apply where a passenger demands responsibility from the common carrier to enforce its contractual obligation. It would be iniquitous to exempt the driver and his employer on the ground that the other driver was also negligent. So remember, last clear chance rule does not apply or is not applicable to contracts of carriage between the passenger and the common carrier. Another thing to note is that the court need not make an express finding of fault or negligence on the part of the common carrier in order to hold it responsible to pay the damages sought by the passenger. By the contract of carriage, the common carrier assumes the express obligation to observe extraordinary diligence in transporting the passenger, and this is an exemption to the general rule that negligence must be proved. So remember that the court need not make express finding of carrier's fault or negligence. Another principle to note is that common carriers are not ordinarily liable for injuries to passengers due to fires or explosions caused by articles brought into conveyance by other passengers. So remember that a common carrier is not liable for injuries to passengers due to fires or explosions caused by articles brought into conveyance by other passengers. Fairness demands that in measuring the common carrier's duty towards its passengers, allowance should be given to the reliance that should be reposed on the sense of responsibility of all the passengers in regard to their common safety, that the passenger will not take with him anything dangerous to his co-passengers. For the carrier to be liable, he must be aware to his employees of the nature of the article, or must have had some reason to anticipate danger therefrom. That is, circumstances must show that there are causes for apprehension, that the passenger's baggage is dangerous and that the common carrier fails to act in the fact of such evidence. This principle is taken from the case of Nocom versus Laguna Bass Company, 1969. So, in our next lecture, we'll have a discussion on force majeure and the limitation of liability, validity of stipulations, and responsibility for acts of employees. And then we move on to responsibility for acts of strangers and co-passengers. And in your outline, you will see the duty of passenger, effect of contributory negligence. That would be number 8, and of course the liability of air carrier under the Warsaw Convention, and we move on to damages recoverable from common carriers. But for our next lecture, we'll have a discussion on force majeure. So that ends our lecture on common carrier of passengers, the nature of responsibility, number 1, and our next lecture will be common carrier of passengers. Number four, force majeure, a discussion on force majeure with respect to common carriage of passengers.